in. Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Wednesday afternoon. It is hump day. And it's nice. I think this is our first Big Blue Kickoff Live that we've got to host together
in the
regular season.
I know.
Mr. Jeff Feagles.
It's hump day.
Yes.
But it's really not hump day for the Giants because it's the day before the game.
Right.
So it's like a Friday.
Or excuse me,
it's a Saturday.
It's like a Sunday. Well, yeah.
It's a Saturday.
But I think for most people.
Now we've confused everybody what day it is. It's Wednesday.
I think we've confused ourselves. Yes, it is Wednesday. Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Anita Marks and Jeff Feagles with you for the next hour. Really excited that we get to share your lunch hour with you here on Giants.com. Phone lines are open. And that is 201-939-4513. If you want to get in, now is the time to do it. Also, you can hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, and I will share. Oh, you're getting ready. Getting warmed up.
I'm getting warmed up. It's a little chilly in here.
It is not cold.
Okay, I'm cold.
There. Are you just normally
I don't
cold?
Know. No, I was just in the cafeteria, and it was freezing in there for a good reason. They got to keep the food, you know, kind of the salads and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's cold out. It's fall. It's getting around there. Listen, we need the Giants to not to cool off. They need to heat up.
Yeah, that's exactly what they need to do. So, again, we welcome you in, and let's start looking to it. As you said, I mean, tomorrow night, Thursday night, you've played in Thursday night games.
They're
right?
Horrible.
They have Thursday night games when you play?
Yeah, they're horrible. Listen, that was only 5 years ago. Was it too far?
I don't mean to date you there, Jeff.
No, it's okay.
But a lot of players don't like it. John Beeson came out this week, and he had his little opinion on it that he didn't like it.
I never did like it, especially, you know, I think for the younger guys, it's no big deal. I mean, these guys can recover quickly, but guys like John Beeson, you know, some of the older players, they get into that turnaround. Thursday, you're coming into your second practice of the week. Well, now you're going out and playing a 60-minute game. Everything changes, Anita. It's the preparation. It's the time spent in the training room gets a little bit elevated. What is not elevated is the practice time because you only get a couple days. They're not out in pads. They're out there in shells and helmets. But, you know, everything is kind of moving forward. The best thing about a Thursday night game is the game – is afterwards because you get 10 days off. So you get that quick turnaround right after the game.
And they're going to need it because they're going to Buffalo.
They're going to go to Buffalo, yeah. So I think that gives them a little bit of more rest and to get some guys healthy, you know, a.k.a. Victor Cruz will get some more time, and hopefully that's when he can return because you can see this team, Anita, needs Victor Cruz. Offensively, with what happened with Preston Parker, the drops, that slot position is just, you could see how this team operates better with him in the lineup, both from his leadership standpoint and from his production on the field. And so that's what happens with these Thursday games. I don't think the veterans like them, but it's everybody has one of them. So it's not like, you know, some teams have them, some teams don't. Every team has one during the season, and the Giants get away with having theirs. The third game of the week.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because there are a lot of injuries that are going on right now on this team. So therefore, short work week. Not sure if certain guys would be available. Let's say if they were playing on a Sunday,
right.
For example, Eric Flowers.
Yep.
You know, Tom Coughlin commended the young man because he hurt his ankle in the previous game, but still wanted to give it a go this past week, and then unfortunately re-injured it even more. So there's a good chance that Eric Flowers is not going to go tomorrow night. What does that mean? You're going to have Pugh at left tackle, John Jerry at right,
left tackle.
I'm sorry, left guard. Richburg at center, of course, Jeff at right, and then Newhouse at right. So that's going to be your offensive line more than likely right now. That's what it would look like. So some concerns there because even though he's a rookie, Eric Flowers really has performed quite well, especially with rushing the football.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the side of the line they want to rush the football with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately last week, Justin Pugh finished the game at left tackle, and Eli had said that he did a nice job. So, and during the preseason, they had him out at left tackle because of this reason. That offensive line, if you have injuries, these guys have to be able to play different positions. So it's interesting, you know, how long it will take Eric Flowers to even get back if he does. But we hope that, you know, if he will not play in the game if he's not 100% healthy. They're not going to put him out there that way. So we'll see you there. But, yeah, you're right, Anita. That's the where they want to rush the football on that left side of the line. And the Giants have done a nice job at running the ball the last couple weeks.
And let me ask you this. How difficult is it for Pugh to move out and play left tackle after he's really spent the majority of the time in OTAs and training camp at left guard?
I don't want to underestimate his ability to do that. He played tackle, so he gets some, even though it's the right side to the left side.
Exactly.
You understand a little bit about the tackle mentality, your depth and things like that. Where a guard, you always have guys in front of you. Where at any of the tackles position, you have to get used to the speed rushers that are playing outside technique. So that in itself is a little bit more difficult. However, I think that being on the left side as much as he has playing left guard helps him a little bit. The guys just move out a little bit further. But all the plays are the same over there. They just have to learn the difference between the playing a guard and a tackle and the plays, what they are. But it's not that it's not too difficult for him.
And let me say this. Coming in, obviously, offensive – on the offensive side of the ball, the offensive line was one of the biggest concerns coming in.
Right.
And I think that they have outperformed based
on what everybody said,
on what the expectations were coming in.
And the more and more that team, those guys get to play next to each other and go in and consistently be in the lineup together, the better they're going to get. And you look at the game against Dallas, you come in there and you said that the Giants will outrush the Dallas Cowboys. You would think that we were crazy, but they did. They almost had 100 yards, 99 to be exact. Last week, they come in and they rush the ball with that's including Eli Manning's 28 total yards of rushing, help get them to the numbers. But I'm not worried about the Giants running the football. I'm worried about them focusing on the fourth quarter like we always have been talking about the last couple weeks, because this team needs to learn how to finish football games.
Unfortunately, it doesn't look like Victor Cruz is going to go on Thursday night.
Yeah.
As you just said a minute ago, it looks like he's aiming for that Buffalo Bills game. No Preston Parker. He was released this week. So Jeremy Davis, an opportunity for him to really step in and make some noise at that slot position.
Him and Dwayne Harris, it seems to be the guys that they're talking about putting in there. I would say that it would maybe be Dwayne Harris before Jeremy Davis. However, then you have the risk of Dwayne Harris getting hurt on a special team, because look what he did. That's why they brought him in.
Right.
Exactly what he did last week. That's what the Giants have been
special
looking
teams
for in that. But vice versa is that Jeremy Davis plays a lot of special teams and he's a young guy. We've also have talked and heard about maybe Reuben Randall moving into the slot position, but that means somebody else is going to have to go out there and play the outside position too. So we'll see what happens.
And last but not least, just focusing on the offense here for a second, Daniel Fells was able to practice yesterday, which
very
is
good.
Great because, obviously if in fact no Ereck Flowers, you're going to need as much help on
right.
that offensive line as possible in regard to blocking. And Fells is your best blocking tight end to
no
suit
question.
Up on Thursday.
Yeah,
night.
Because, Larry Donnell is your primary receiving tight end, and Fells has always been your blocking tight end. So, you may see all three of them active this week if Flowers doesn't go, because you need some extra help in their blocking.
All right, and looking on the defensive side of the ball, John Beeson was able to practice yesterday.
Huge.
There is a chance that he would play. If he did, he's going to be on a pitch count. Keep that in mind. But you've got a tight end by the name of Jordan Reed who suits up for the Washington Redskins, who is going to be one tall task, whether it's for Beeson, Unga, or Landry Collins, who there's been some talk and speculation that Spags might give him the assignment of Jordan Reed. We'll find out. Also, Dominic Rogers-Cromartie dealing with a burner/concussion does not look too positive that he's going to play tomorrow night. That means Daron Hosley is going to have to step up, play opposite Prince, and Pierre Garçon would be their number one wide receiver coming off the line. Your thoughts on Hosley and his performance last week?
I think Hosley's performance to date has been good. I think that he was one of those guys, Anita, coming into camp. He was on the bubble. It was okay, it's time, guy. And I thought he performed well in training camp. Then he played good against Dallas, and I think that last week he did a fine job too. I think that there's nobody else that I would say that could play that position that better than him right now. And I thought he did fairly well. And so now really he. He didn't start the game last week, but he came in after two plays because you saw what happened to DRC. The first play he got hurt, he went out. This next play he came in, he got hurt again. So he played the whole game. So look for him. Jordan Reese, when you talk about this guy, look at what's happened against the Giants defense the last couple weeks with Jason Witten, and then last week what's the guy from Atlanta, the tight end there. They use the tight ends a lot against this Giants defense. So you are going to have to pay attention to this guy. He's going to be a target for them this week.
Yeah, he's
might
just
be a sleeper pick in fantasy.
Oh, he absolutely is. Look at you going fantasy. Talking about fantasy fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code New York to play for free today. So, again, we're going to head out to the phone lines. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get on board. That's how you do it. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter. I'll be sharing your tweets throughout the show, and that's hashtag Giants Chat, myself and Jeff Fiegels, and you. Let's kick it off. Line one, we go to Abdul calling in from Minnesota. Abdul, you're first up.
What's up, Abdul?
Hey, wow, first surprise. Thanks.
You are. You're first today.
I have a couple of things. I'll try to be quick about it. All offseason keep driving me nuts, the importance or how much people talk about, you know, special teams and how it's important it is, and that's why we cut certain players because we need special team players. Mm-hmm. And then my whole point was, but we need them to be able to do their main position, right? And I'm kind of disappointed that we cut some players that could have helped us, like Washington or James Jones, for a guy like Preston Parker who played special teams great but couldn't catch the ball. So shouldn't a person be able to do his initial job well, then say, hey, he also does special teams also? It just seems like putting too much weight on other teams might hurt a team if the person can't play his main position.
With James Jones, I mean, obviously James Jones, he's not a special teams player, so that had a hand in why Preston Parker was here.
What would be more important, catching those third down passes or making an attack on special teams?
Yeah, but it goes down to depth. It goes down to depth. Preston Parker is the guy behind each one of those. He's a punt returner, kickoff returner.
Your fourth stringer should be able to catch the ball too.
Well, if they make this team as a receiver, that's their primary position. They should be able to make the team. But you can only start so many guys on offense and defense, and they have to fill out the rest of the roster through special teams. So, you know what helps these guys? For instance, like a Jeremy Davis, you know, he showed that he could play special teams, and so did Corey Washington. Mm. Don't get me wrong. He came around since last year. He got better at special teams. I just think that they thought that Jeremy Davis was a better receiver.
Right. I just think they need to expand the roster so we could have a little more depth for our special teams and systems like that. I am really nervous this week about Newhouse facing that left defensive end that Washington has. What's his name again?
Oh, for Washington?
Yeah.
Hello.
Are you talking about Kerrigan? Talking about Kerrigan?
Yeah.
I'm nervous about that matchup. He's a power speed rusher. He's given the Giants headaches for years since he's gotten in the league. I remember that first game he ran the pick six back on Eli. That just still rings in my memory. And I'm really nervous about that. So hopefully Newhouse steps up. I was really impressed with the backup. I think
we're losing you, Abdul.
Abdul, I'm sorry. We lost you, unfortunately. I will say this about Washington is that this is a team that I think have surprised folks so far 2 weeks into the season.
Oh, no question.
And that is, you know, they have their offensive line looks a lot better. They have established a solid rushing attack, and their defense is a lot better than what most people anticipated.
Well, yeah, and I think of all the NFC East teams, this team has probably played the most consistent of any of them. You know, they play St. Louis last week, who's got a tremendous defense, and these guys come out and run the football. 182 yards rushing last week with Morris and rookie Matt Jones against a St. Louis defense. And Kirk Cousins has 23 for 27, 203 yards passing. So, you know, this is a team that – you're right, Anita. This is the defensive team. You kind of – you don't know as many names on offense for the Redskins. We kind of know Garcon. We know the guys there. We know Cousins. We know Alfred Morris. But this offensive line to me is the most impressive because they're just a lot like the Giants' offensive line. They have not been together a long time, but they can run the football. These guys can put it up. What I'm excited about for the Giants is the fact that the Giants' defense, of all things, is pretty good against the rush. So the matchup there, I think, bodes well, very good for the Giants. And they're not going to have to defend, you know, try to get pressure on Cousins. all that much because they're gonna run the football, and their time of possession is tops in the league too for Washington.
Yeah, both games their time of possession has been 37 minutes if not more for
wow.
each game. So that shows you a big commitment to the rushing attack. Matt Jones, who is a big pickup in fantasy this week, mind you, 25 carries for 151 yards so far on the season. Mm. Obviously, you've got Alfred Morris in that backfield, and apparently they've nicknamed them Mojo.
Mojo, he's got some mojo.
Pretty
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, why not?
Actually,
Matt Jones, Mojo.
Matt Jones and Alfred Morris. So Morris, Mo, Jones.
Oh, there it is. Mo, okay.
Yeah.
Mojo.
So they're calling that 1-2 punch
the
Mojo.
Mojo. You want some Mojo?
Yeah. I don't think the Giants want it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to line two. Dennis is calling in from Miami. Dennis, welcome.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, guys. Good to talk to you. I'm a little nervous. I've never called before, a long time. Grew up in New Jersey.
Take a breath, Dennis. Take a breath.
Honored to speak to you, Jeff and Anna.
You're welcome.
Anita, excuse me. Two comments to make. Giants faithful, no more negative comments. Our guys need all our support, and all we're doing is making negative remarks, and the players need to hear our support from the fans. They're going to recover from this.
Nice.
My other comment is my son's birthday is Thursday. He's a Redskins fan, and we always beat the Redskins when it's my son's birthday. So
there you
we have
go.
A little bit going for us there. Three comments. I'll let you guys chat. Do you see Beeson being back having a huge impact on Jordan Reed? In the slot receiver position, if we get Dwayne Harris or Jeremy Davis, you guys touched on it earlier, do you see Larry Donnell coming in and filling in possibly there? I know you guys touched on that already. And my last comment is I think you guys touched on the offensive line with Pugh, Jerry, and Richburg in there. We should be able to dominate their defense and have an effective run, and maybe Shane gets out of the backfield as needed. I'll let you guys chat. I really appreciate the call. Handle, Patches McGee. See you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. Well, Jordan Reed and Beeson, I think him being back in the lineup will certainly help the defense, both from his play and his leadership and just being a veteran, knowing where to be. I mean, you look at Unga, there's a lot of times he's out of position, and that's because he's inexperienced at that position too. So that'll help him. I think this offense with the slot position, it's anybody's guess of who's going to start there and how many combinations. But you look at Ben McAdoo and what he'll do. He's a smart guy. He's gonna put guys all over the place. Don't be surprised if you see Beckham in the slot here every once in a while too. So I think it's a matter of matchups, trying to get the best matchup against that Redskins defense. And then as far as Donnell, they're going to continue to use Donnell the way they have been. And that's just trying to get him open, limited blocking. He's a big target. Eli should have hit him at the end of the game last week. And so, I think that was all his questions. It's pretty good for me to remember all three of them.
It is. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, well, he's calling from Miami, and I went to Miami. So we had that connection. See, that's how we get it done.
And I was born and raised in Miami.
There you go. So we got the Miami connection.
And
here.
It's okay to call me Anna because
that's okay.
Well, no, because in Miami, Anita is a younger Anna.
Oh, there we go.
So
okay,
you know,
so you're
like
the younger
Anna
today.
You know, it's like Ita.
Anita.
Ita is
Anna.
Always so. An older is an Ann or an Anna. Anita is a smaller.
Interesting.
Yes, and most people call me Anita.
Anita.
I mean, it's
not
our,
Anita.
It's our English language. We're very
Anita.
We're very lazy.
They're
with
lazy
our,
at the end.
We're lazy with our T's.
Hi, Anita.
Yeah,
you not Anita.
Me, you say Anita.
What's that, Anita?
See, yeah. you don't say hey, Anita.
Anita.
See, you're too lazy. Let's go to line three. Emilio is calling in. Emilio, welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Jeff. How you guys doing? Nice to talk to you again.
You too.
All right, well, I'd like to piggyback a little bit on what you said earlier. And Jeff, I didn't know you were from the U, man.
Oh, yeah. Way back in the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Good deal. I have news. I got news and serve notice to a lot of these people calling up with negativity. Our defense is coming on. I can see it. Our defense is coming on. I have no doubt that we're going to turn this thing around, especially lost in all. And we could easily be 2-0.
No
and
question.
Lost in all this. Is the fact that, piggybacking on what you said, our rush defense is number three in the league, and we have, I think, second lowest penalties of any team. So I think the key is to get Beeson back in there. And I think that will solidify a lot of, the pass defense, because I don't think the pass defense has been as bad as it's come out, about 400 yards a game, something like that.
That's bad, by the way.
But I have no doubt.
I don't want to be on the negative side, but that's bad.
Big blue, and I just like to hear your comments on that.
Well, I think, like I said earlier, Anita, the defense, the matchup this week with the Redskins wanting to run the football, the addition of Kendrick Ellis in there, he's a big run stopper. I was surprised that he did not make the team, and obviously it was between him and Marcus Kuhn. Marcus Kuhn is hurt now, and now you saw the reason that they brought Ellis back. So I think him getting in there, the return of Beeson is going to just even more beast up that defense of stopping the run for the Giants. Offensively for the Redskins, you know, they're going to, if they can't run the ball, then they're going to have to, they're going to dink and dunk, just like the other two weeks that the Giants have gone against Atlanta and Dallas. In the National Football League, you know, Anita, everybody's a copycat. You know, they're going to go with what works, and you have seen the 400 yards passing that these guys are getting every week. Until the Giants prove that they can stop that dink and dunk without giving up the big play, they're going to face it every week. That's what's going to happen.
Emilio said something that, and I think a lot of people agree with, and that is this Giants team can easily be 2-0 right now.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for all that has transpired in the fourth quarter, how does that sit with players in the locker room, you think? How does that resonate? Are they sitting there? Do you feel that they're sitting there, you know, saying, you know, woe is me? Or do you think they're sitting there saying, you know what, we are a lot better than what most people think we are?
They're saying that we're a lot better than what people think we are, okay? And it's a sick feeling. I tell you, it's a sick feeling. But you're also sitting there going, you know what, we were this close. And we just got to make corrections and do things the right way at the end and finish games. And what goes into finishing games, Anita? We could talk about how do you finish a game. You finish a game by, in my idea, is three things. Number one is your leaders on your team have to step up on any one of those three phases. Somebody's going to have to make a play and come up and support the team that's not doing well. If the defense isn't doing good, the offense has to do something good or make a play on special teams. The other thing is that discipline, okay? Jumping off, having to delay a game on third down after a timeout. Those are the little things that we can look at, and those are correctable. It's not a matter of those things you can't get in there and we look at on film. Those are correctable things. And it's the other one is just having the will against your opponent to go in and say, listen, we got this game. We got to go out there and make some plays. Where are the big plays? We saw a big play out of Odell Beckham, but where are the other big plays? In the Dallas game, we had the defense making some plays. In the fourth quarter, this team alone, some of my notes here, 10 point leads they've given up twice in these last two games, and the defense has given up 28 fourth quarter points. That's where the offense has to come. If the defense is going to do that, the offense has got to come out and say, we got to make plays for this to pick up the defense. And when we do that, we're sitting here at 2-0, atop the division, in a division right now that we're all looking at that we thought that was going to be a pretty good division, not that good. It's really not. You look at the Eagles and the Cowboys now that they're all banged up, Washington and New York. I mean, who's to say maybe this division winner is an 8-8 or, you know, maybe 9-7. Who knows? So to answer your question, these guys don't feel like sorry for me. They're trying to find a way to win.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in, 201-939-4513. I'm going to share some tweets in just a second. Let me ask you this, because you said – twice already in both games, 10-point leads. Fourth quarter, it unfortunately falls apart. Do you look at this like the prevent D is just not working, or is this a matter of conditioning? Do you feel that it gets down to that fourth quarter and the defense is on the field too long?
I think it's maybe a little bit of both. I don't know if they go into that full-fledged prevent defense. There's a little bit of, hey, don't let them get behind us, keep them in front of us. The other thing is that you look in the last two games in the Dallas first quarter and the Atlanta first quarter, the Giants offense had the ball once in the first quarter. I mean, they had it twice. They started with 38 seconds left in the first quarter. So, really, get off the field. So, and in the Dallas game, they had a 10-minute drive, Dallas did. Get off the field. So, yes, it could be a little bit of conditioning at the end. But it all comes down to what I'm saying, Anita, is that somebody's got to make a play back there. I mean, a big interception. I look at it years ago when Stevie Brown would just come up with a football somewhere, some way. JPP would have a strip sack. Something to make a play at the end of the game to win the game. That's what's got to happen with this team. Because you know what? If they're going to sit back and play that prevent and nobody's going to make a play, anybody's going to be able to go down the field. 91 yards, 270-yard drives. That can't happen. You got to have a big play back there. You know?
Obviously, I mean, the tweets that are coming in are just really angry and upset Giants fans, and I totally get it. This is from WMD. Did you see the last two drives for Dallas? They look like a minor league team. Nicholas is saying the Giants almost won two games. Hello, McFly. There's no stat for almost wins. Spin, spin, spin. We're not spinning anything. It's not about spinning. I'm curious.
You were asked a question. Jeff, in the locker room,
Jeff,
what does it taste like?
Jeff has played. I'm curious. Like, you know, when you're that close and you feel like, you know, you had two games in your grasps, what is the mentality? Yeah, what are these guys thinking right now?
And the mentality is this: if the Giants had gotten blown out by 30 points each team, then we got problems. We're sitting there going, the guys are sitting there. That's when they start going, oh man, I don't know if we're really bad. You know, but they didn't get blown out. The margin of victory here has been 5 points or less.
WMD says, wow, these two people are very optimistic. I'm Anita Marks. This is Jeff Fiegels. Well, what are we supposed to do? Sit here for an hour and look at the glass half empty when this was a team that possibly was in it to win it into the fourth quarter? I mean, listen, you know, you want to be as optimistic as you can. It's not like the Washington Redskins are like the Green Bay Packers or the New England Patriots coming in on Thursday night.
Exactly. We're concentrating on one game, the Washington Redskins.
The Giants have a shot to win this game. Now, is it going to be easy? No, I don't think it is going to be easy. You know, the Washington Redskins, their defense is a lot better than what most people think. They're able to run the football. They've got a nickname for their two running backs now. Their offensive line is better. I think by Kirk Cousins, what happened with RG3, kind of similar to what happened with the Jets, I think is a blessing in disguise to bring in a quarterback like Kirk Cousins over RG3 or Ryan Fitzpatrick over Geno Smith. So, and their quarterback is being able to perform better. He's getting the ball out a lot sooner than he has in the past. He's not holding on to the football, which bodes well for Washington. No, this is a good, not a great, but a surprising Washington team. But keep in mind, they've had two home games. This is their first road game. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. I think that's going to be interesting. So, I mean, we're not going to sit here for an hour and be two negative Nellies. We want to be as optimistic as we can, but also we've got to be honest. And we opened up the show and talking about all the injuries. You know, does not look like Flowers is going to go tomorrow night. Does not look like Cruz is going to go. Beeson might be on a pitch count. DRC's not going to go.
I told you about the 10-point leads being blown, the 28-point fourth quarter points. What we're trying to do is we're trying to be positive, but we're also, you know, in that sense, we're trying to make sense of how this team can come back. There's a lot of people that watch the show and call into the show that have never been in an NFL locker room. You all know how long I was been in the locker room, and I understand how I've been on bad teams. I've been on 2-14 teams, and I've also been on Super Bowl teams. And I know that the demeanor and the mindset of an 0-2 team that is going nowhere, which a lot of people think that the Giants are going nowhere, okay, are different. There's teams when you come into a season and you sit there and you got a rookie quarterback, you got a really, really young team, and you don't really know what's going to happen. I think this team was – went into the offseason, had some acquisitions, free agency, some draft picks, and had a little bit of good taste in their mouth going into until the injury bug hit it again. So we're trying to be optimistic. We're trying to let everybody know that this team still has a chance. And you know what? If it wasn't, you know, this team could be 2-0. They're not. The bottom line is, and I'll tell you one thing, in the locker room, they don't think they could have been 2-0. We're only talking about it. As a player, it is what it is. What's Bill Parcells? Your record is your record, right? Tom Coughlin said it, hey, this team is better. It should be a 2-0 team. It's better than an 0-2 team. Well, hey, you know what? If you want to believe it, that's good. But whether this all comes out in the locker room, Anita, is the leadership of the guys at every position. You know, you have the defensive line leader. You have the linebacker leader. You got the defensive back guy. Those are the kind of guys you got to get around, and you got to coach within your own group and say, let's go. Let's get going. And I think that's what's got to happen here.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Jeff, let's head back out to the phone lines. We go to Manhattan. Conrad is hanging tight. Conrad, welcome on.
What's up, Conrad?
Hi, Anita. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
I've been listening to the show for quite a while, and I'm a big fan.
Good.
I have a question, and I also
are you in a kitchen? Where are you at today?
My question is, what's happening with Corey? Corey Washington, I'm assuming that they cut him over the summer, right?
That he was on, he did not make the, he was waived, injured, and had a settlement. which means that the Giants cannot sign him back for 8 weeks, but he is free to sign with anybody else in the National Football League. They waived him with an injury settlement.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for me. And this goes with my issue. I think some decisions that they make and some chances that the general manager takes, even though I love the guy, he's been great. I scratch my head on some of them. I sat there throughout the summer and watched Corey Washington tear things up throughout the OTAs and in camp. Preston Parker is Preston Parker. He was Preston Parker last year. He dropped balls, and some plays he make them, and some plays he did not. And so we kept Preston Parker based on special teams, and I get that. But for the life of me, I have no idea why we let Corby Washington go, a young kid that I only saw that was getting better on a year-to-year basis. And it goes back to letting Entrell Roll go. We let him go. Chicago picks him up, and now we're scrambling for safeties to try to figure out what are we going to do at the safety position. Larry Donnell, I have no idea why is this guy still out there every Sunday dropping balls. He'll make a few good catches, and in a crucial spots that you need him to come up with a big catch, he doesn't come up with them. Last year was the same thing, and this year is going to be the same thing. I think Fells is a much better tight end at catching. I think the guy Cummings that we have, I think he's good if he gets a chance. I would like to see the Giants, you know, develop and allow the younger players to see the field more than they do now.
Well, they are.
I'm very optimistic about the team.
Listen, I'm going to interrupt you.
Conrad, thank you for the phone call. You
talk about developing. You used the word develop in the younger players, okay? Jeremy Davis is a young player, a draft pick, developing, okay? Larry Donnell, developing, okay? Cunningham, developing. So they are developing, these guys. They are a young team, okay? The Preston Parker thing, I know people scratch their head and say, what is going on? Why didn't they keep Corey Washington? I'm sorry. Preston Parker is a veteran. He's played in the league. He's done well. The last two games, he dropped five passes. He lost his job. If he had not done that and he was catching passes, then he would have kept his job, okay? But my point is that in this league, you keep veterans that kind of have a resume. Corey Washington didn't catch 40 or 50 balls in the season last year like Preston Parker did. I'm just guessing on his numbers. I'm guessing that they were around that. But my point is that there are certain positions. If Victor Cruz is healthy, we know he's going to be back in the lineup. You go for the next guy who has experience. And Preston Parker has been a good player for the Giants up until the last 2 weeks. Coach Coffin said it in his press conference. Been a great player, been a reliable player, been a tough player, just not so good the last couple weeks. So, and then when you talk about Entrell Roll, you know, there's a thing called the salary cap and what people want, how much money. He was asking for too much money. The Giants are the one organization that they draw the line in the sand. They say, this is what we're going to pay you. This is what the market says. And if you can get more, go. And that's what happened with Entrell Roll.
I want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. And don't you think it's very telling that Corey Washington is not on somebody else's roster right now?
Yeah, he worked out for the Jets yesterday. I mean, if he was that good and we cut him, then why didn't somebody else? Exactly. I mean, come on. Listen.
And have you ever played with a guy who's just, like, phenomenal at practice, but
yeah.
then, like, game
Really?
Game
you ever
day
heard of Ramsey's Barden? I mean, Ramsey's Barden was the next Corey Washington was the next Ramsey's Barden, in my opinion. Okay, Ramsey's Barden had great preseason. He would catch everything. He had nine lives, and the next thing you know, and what did he do when the games were when they started the regular season? Nothing. You know, you want guys that are going to actually produce for you. Preston Parker has made some big plays for the Giants. He made some stupid plays for the Giants, which, by the way, he's sitting at home now without a job. And that's the pressure that the National Football League is. Every single week, you're playing for your job. And what happens is, you may call it, hey, listen, cutting Preston Parker, that's got to send a message to the locker room. Well, guess what? It does. It certainly does. But that message shouldn't have to be sent. when something like this happens. That message should be every single week that you come to work and you come to the Giants facility as a National Football League player. You know that you have the opportunity to play on a week-to-week basis. And I know that as many years as I played, that's 22 of them, okay? I came to work every single day thinking that I was lucky to have a job. And that's why I lasted as long as I did, because I always thought that if I start screwing up, I'm going to lose my job. And I did everything I could to do well and not lose my job. And for someone like Preston Parker, if that took going out and catching a million balls in the jug machine, then he should have done it. Or if a Corey Washington needed to do better routes or needed to do this or that, should have done it. Those guys are both out of jobs right now. And the next guy up has to step up. And I don't care if it's Reuben Randall or it's Jeremy Davis or it's whoever's going to play that slot position. They got to make plays. And really, when we talk about a team being 0-2 or 2-0 right now, Anita, this team did not make plays in the crucial parts of the game in the fourth quarter, or they would be sitting 2-0. They're not, and now they have to improve against this team, Redskins.
The Washington Redskins.
You want to know anything about them? Look.
2-0.
Wow, that was a good catch.
Yeah, 201-9 for a quarterback. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from TaylorMade CEO.
I love TaylorMade.
I know.
Okay,
I know.
Well, send us some
clubs. I know you like that one. Who and where are the vocal and emotional leaders on this Giants team? And I think it's an interesting question.
It is.
Because I'm looking around offensively, and yet let me say this, because I think Eli Manning is a little misunderstood at times. Eli Manning is not your rah-rah guy in the locker room. He's just not. He leads on the football field. You know what I mean? And guys follow. So, you know, but he's not going to be your Ray Lewis of your of your offense. So who on that offense is? For me, I'd have to say Victor Cruz, but he's not playing yet.
There's no question. He's definitely the vocal leader of the offense.
Yes.
Okay. And so
used to be Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Used to be Brandon Jacobs.
Oh yeah.
Those guys were insane.
There's
leaders
no question
in that locker room, but they're gone. So who's a leader right now in that locker room? I'd put my money on Victor Cruz, but it's hard to lead when you're not playing, when you're not in that huddle, when you're not
exactly
practicing.
It is, because you feel like, you know, you feel like you've let your team down by being hurt. And so for you to go and start to say things about the team losing two games, you're afraid that the guys are going to be like, dude, you're not even in the lineup. What the hell are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So it's hard. It's right. So until he gets on the field, he can then become that leader. I see a developing Odell Beckham being the leader of that team, because he's not real vocal, but he's got enough in him that I think he could say some things. But you're right. Look at the offensive line. Back in the day, you had Sean O'Hara.
I think we're about 2 years away.
Maybe, but I mean,
he might be
pushed a little bit to say, hey, you know what? If there's anybody that these guys can look up to, the younger guys, look up to this guy. I mean, the guy's a playmaker. Come on. But Victor Cruz, by far, Eli leads in three places. He leads in the games.
Right.
He leads on the practice field.
Right.
And he leads in the meeting rooms.
Yep.
Those three areas are where he's a leader that nobody else gets to see.
Right.
Think about it. Okay. In the games, he's not yelling at people. He's concentrating on trying what he's doing. And those are the kind of leadership skills that he brings to the table.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, same situation. It's John Beeson. But John Beeson has not been on the football field.
Right.
He's not been practicing.
Good point, yeah.
So, you know, you ask where the leaders are on this football team, and your leaders are Victor Cruz on offense and John Beeson on defense, but unfortunately they haven't played.
And I think Robert Ayers is one of those other guys that's a leader. I think that he – I think guys respect him. I think they go out, they see how he plays on Sunday, certainly how he played last Sunday. He had a great game last week. And then you look in the secondary – and, you know, Prince is not a vocal guy. Prince is a prince. You know, he's just kind of just, you know, there, but plays on the field. He does a good job on it. DRC, he's not a vocal. I mean, he's not going to be the guy stand up in your face kind of guy. It's John Beeson. I think Robert Ayers. Colin Jenkins is the other guy that you see a lot of him talking about guys and this and that. But, you know, JPP was the leader of that defense, and he's not there either. So there is missing some key components to leadership when these guys aren't on the field. And you would think that maybe when those guys get back that would help this team win.
201-939-4513. We go to line 3. James is calling in. James, welcome in.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, James.
¿Cómo está, Anita?
Bien.
Anita.
¿Y tú?
There you go.
Hey, Jeff. Good to, you know, always good to listen to you, man. I just love your take on stuff.
Thank you. Some people don't.
I have a couple of things to say. And one, you know, I'm looking at this from a general perspective now after a couple of games. And from a defense, on the defense, I look at, you know, the equation of experience plus confidence equals continuity. And that's what Tom Coughlin is always, he's always after that continuity. And you really only get that with experience and confidence. Mm-hmm. And when I look at the prevent defense that we've put up and, you know, the long drive thing, you know, all that's been a mess, it's because we don't have the experience and the confidence. You know, we got a lot of young guys. We got inexperienced guys.
New system.
You throw in a couple of veterans, and I understand that. It's just going to take time. So we can talk about stepping up and making a play and all that stuff. It just doesn't have any meaning to me because there's no continuity. There's no experience and confidence as a whole of the defense. You player here or there that can, you know, that has that, but you don't have that team confidence. And that's why when you look at a Seattle or, you know, a Seattle defense or a Ravens defense or whatnot, those are guys that they play as a team, but they play with experience and confidence, and that's why they have continuity.
Right.
So this prevent defense that we've had, you know, that we got killed by, it's because we really don't have the experience and the confidence. And that's why we got killed. But that'll change. That'll change because – if we look at how we stop the run, okay, you know, there's one dimension that we've really not mastered, but we've done a good job with that, and now we move on to the passing aspect of defense. And I think that will continue to grow as time goes on. So talking about stepping up and making a play, I mean, I just hate those words because I know that it's a team concept. It's not about one guy. And later on, as this defense grows, we'll see guys making plays, and they'll do it because they weren't ready to make plays in games one and games two. But they'll be ready. They will eventually be ready. I've got confidence in Spags. I think he knows what he's doing, but he can't do it overnight any more than our offense could have done it last year. Everybody was saying, well, you know what? You know, the offense isn't getting it. They're not getting it. But later on in the year, they did gel. Because they got into that continuity thing that Coach is always talking about.
Confidence.
But it took a long time. They didn't do that at week three and week four and week five. They did that toward the last half of the season when they started connecting. And I think I think you should give the defense, you know, the same latitude. And after two games, I think they're doing all right, but they're not 2-0, okay? And we shouldn't be talking about them could have been 2-0. You are what your record says you are, just like Parcells said.
Yep.
You're 0-2, but you've got a lot of upside. We've seen the upside, so we can be, you know, we can dwell on that. We will get better, whether we go to the playoffs or not. I don't know. We shouldn't even be talking about that. We should be talking about progress.
Well, you're talking about it. We're not. You're talking about the playoffs. No. We're not. Listen, these guys.
And this thing about Unga, you know, Anita, I know you love Beeson. I love Beeson. But Unga needs to play. I mean, regardless of anything, he needs to play. Whether he plays in a package or he plays, you know, on first downs versus third downs, or, you know, whatever the case, he still needs playing time.
James, you can't give him
a taste of what he's had in those first two games and then tell him, okay, now you go sit on the bench.
No, James, trust me, and thank you for the phone call. Unga is going to play.
No question.
Because two things. A, Beeson is not healthy, and I doubt he'll be healthy for all year. So Unga is going to have to come in and play. And also, I mean, let's face it, Beeson hasn't played yet. So there's going to be some rust there. Beeson's going to be on a pitch count if he does play on Thursday night. So Unga will play. It's not like he's going to ride the pine and Beeson's going to be
in
there every snap.
No, they'll bring him in different packages. He'll be in there. He'll play special teams. But, you know, the guy's like – we're not talking about a rookie guy that just came in here who's an all-pro, and you got to keep him in the lineup. The guy was, you know, he was a backup until they he got put into a starting position. So he's got a lot of growing up to do. He really does. But they're not going to just yank him out of the lineup and sit him on the bench. He'll be playing.
Let's go to line three. Alan's calling in from D.C. Alan, are you going to – well, actually, it's up here. Never mind. I was going to say, are you going to the game? It's up here. Alan, welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I'm going to take advantage while the Pope is here. I'm going to pray for a giant win on Thursday night.
There you go.
And you know, I know everybody's a little down, but, I mean, this division is wide open.
If exactly.
you look at, like, teams like Dallas who lost, you know, two of their main players and, you know, Philly, they're not doing so well. I mean, they traded all their best players for a coach. And then you got the Skins who are, like, you never know what's going to happen with them, you know. But it's going to be a tough day for me if we lose, because I got to come back to a bunch of people in my office that are going to root or they're rooting for the Redskins. I hope that goes well. You know, I know everybody's really upset about Preston Parker, but I mean, I never thought he was that great of a player, and I realized that, you know, everybody's down on our receivers, but I mean, we got Odell Beckham. Hello, like, where's everybody? I mean, we should be excited instead of sad. You know, not everybody gets an Odell Beckham. I have a fantasy question for Anita. I know you're a guru at this stuff, so. Being a Giant, I drafted both Eli and Breeze. But Breeze is a little hurt, so I'm thinking about starting Eli this week. What do you think on that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty wise. If you looked at any – did you watch any of the game film from the Saints last week?
No, I just heard about it.
Breeze is just like
– yeah, he's got that shoulder injury.
Yeah, he's got
–
and I mean, actually, the balls were not even vintage Drew Breeze footballs. Thank you for the phone call, by the way. Prior to – him going down with a shoulder issue. He's lost a lot of velocity on, and apparently this is something that what's being reported, apparently this is something, a concern that was inside this organization even before the season even began. I think you have to go with Eli. And there are some, fantasy-wise, there are some quarterbacks that I do like this week. Believe it or not, I do like Tyrod Taylor. I like him this week, and also I like him for the remainder of the season. If you lost Tony Romo, the points that he's going to put up on the board for you in the air and on the ground, I think are pretty good. Also, I like Alex Smith this week going up against the Green Bay Packers. I like that matchup a lot. And also, I like Andy Dalton. I mean, this Suggs Ravens defense, they gave up over 350 yards and 3 touchdowns to Derek Carr last week. So, and Andy Dalton and this Bengals offense has looked really good. Tyler Eifert's come on strong. A.J. Green, they're running the football regardless if it's Jeremy Hill or Giovanni Bernard. So those are some other quarterbacks if they're available. Tyrod Taylor, I like Alex Smith this week, and Andy Dalton.
You know my roommate, my son's roommate was Gio?
Was what?
Gio Bernard in college.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, North Carolina.
That's cool.
Great kid.
What do you say about him?
Oh, he loves them.
Yeah,
great kid.
I know you don't play a lot of fantasy. So, Jeremy Hill was a running back that was selected in some places number one, first round, and majority second round. And so he's like the running back to own in that backfield.
Yeah.
He fumbled the ball twice last week.
Right.
So Hugh Jackson benched him. So he put up 0 points last week. And so Giovanni Bernard came in and rushed for over 120.
He's amazing.
123 yards.
He's a playmaker.
So the point is, like, who's ever back there, they're able to rush the ball at will.
They're a good team.
And how great is that for any quarterback?
Watching the Bengals in preseason this year, and I had a chance to
That's
go
right,
up
you were
and
out
watch
there, right?
them practice. They have that confidence that we were talking about earlier in the call, in the show. One of the callers, I think it was maybe Dennis. But it's a team you can just tell is ready to go. They just have that, that whole stigma about Andy Dalton getting to the. What about Carson Palmer? I heard a statistic the other day that he's 15-2 in the last 17 games.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, and Arizona.
And by the way, he was my DraftKings QB last week.
Look at you on DraftKings, which,
hello.
By the way, fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sport destination at DraftKings. You can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter the promo New York to play for free. Did you stack him with Larry Fitzgerald?
No, I give my three picks. I'll have them on Friday for DraftKings. And last week was Carlos Hyde. Zach Eifert and Carson Palmer were my three for DraftKings.com last week. And my two fantasy picks for DraftKings.com on our pregame show were Shane Vereen and Matt Ryan. Which you just stick with me on those. I mean, you're like you might have been one of those million-dollar makers that they say on there. That was a lot of money. I won you a lot of money last week for listening to me. So, and by the way, I'm in first place, and I hope John and Tatino are watching this. I'm first place in over and under, and they hate it. I don't really I don't really care, but they hate it.
You're so funny.
There you go.
201. 939-4513, your number to get in. Anita Marks, Jeff Fiegels, and you here on this hump day, this Wednesday, the day before the Thursday night game where the Giants take on the Washington Redskins. Let's go to line two. Abdul, calling back in, Abdul, from Minneapolis. I want to say Minnesota. Are you in Minnesota? Where are you?
Yeah, he's in Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
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 It's still warm here, believe it or not. So, quick question, quick statement. I think we need to really make the Redskins one-dimensional. That running game scares me. So that means no more field goals, no more red zone gas. We got to be up, you know, once again, 10 points, fourth quarter, and make Kirk Cousins win this game.
There's no question. And Abdul, let me. That's right up my alley. If I'm going to game plan for the Redskins this week, it's stop the run and force Kirk Cousins to beat you. Okay, Kirk Cousins has not beat the Giants ever. And they threw four or five interceptions against them either last year or the year before. I'm not sure when it was. The fact is that you got to stop the run. This team can do it. The Giants' defense is good against the run. If they can do that, then they can put pressure on him in that secondary. Unfortunately, DRC is not going to be back there, but make some big plays in the passing game.
Hosley is my surprise of the year. You know, he kind of reminds me of Webster. Remember Webster's in the doghouse, and he came back with bad.
Yeah, well, you hope, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. So far, so good. Two games. He's been playing okay. My next question is for Anita. Draft question. Who would you start, Vereen or Macklin, in your flex?
You know what? I think this is the week for Jeremy Macklin. Can you believe that Alex Smith has not thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver in over a year?
I think the team has not scored a touchdown in the air over 2 years, right, or something like that, or a year and a half.
Is that unbelievable?
That's one of those things where, like, in 20 years from now, that would be a trivia question nobody will get.
That's my only worry. See, the KC offense does not use receivers.
My gut's telling me that this is the week. This is the week. I mean, it has to be. Look, they're going up against Green Bay, right? I mean, you know Aaron Rodgers is going to put up a ton of points. And so I really do believe that they're going to have to chuck that rock. I think Travis Kelce and Jeremy Macklin are going to put up some good numbers this week.
Okay, well, thank you, Anita. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
This is from Donald. He says, Anita and Jeff, what do you expect us to say? We're very, very happy that we're 0-2 for the third year in a row.
Yeah.
You have to expect this. You know what? I understand, but, you know,
I know
the point, but the point that Jeff and I were making when we started the show is, yes, the Giants are 0-2, but they were in it to win it. It's not like the Giants came in and just got destroyed by their opponents.
And that's all we're saying.
Where Eli's out of the game in the fourth quarter because there's no chance in heck that they're going to come back, and you don't want to get Eli hurt. I mean, that wasn't the scenario. That's not what has played out here. I mean, you're still disappointed in the way that things developed and that the Giants didn't win, but the point that we're making is that they are a much better team than what their record indicates. Therefore, there is optimism heading into this game on Thursday night. That's what we're saying.
And what I'm saying is this. In the Dallas game, how many times in the Tom Coughlin, Eli era have you seen these two guys make that type of mistake? I've never seen them make that type of mistake. It was an anomaly. It happened. Okay? So you take that out, they win that game. An anomaly, I mean, that never happens. Last week's game, okay, I think that game hurts more than the Dallas game because you're at home. You got the 25th anniversary of the 90s Super Bowl team, and, you know, to have just a meltdown there in the last 4 minutes of the game again, mental errors. They were mental errors there. This team could easily be there. It's not like you look at their Giants running game. Is it horrible? No. They rushed for almost 100 yards against Dallas. They did well last week, okay? Their passing game. Is Eli not throwing the football? He threw for almost 300 yards last week. It's the things that can be corrected, in my mind, that are easily corrected. These aren't deficiencies in and guys that just can't play. Eli is not he's not the lowest rated quarterback in the league. Our running backs are not the guys fumbling everywhere. Defensively, yes, we got to get pressure on the quarterback. We did that last week. Spagnuolo mixed up a couple things. You saw Devon Kennard get in there and pressure the quarterback. You saw Ayers get a sack. You saw Colin Jenkins get a sack. So things are there. Okay, it's just it's the mental errors and the things that can be corrected to make this team better. Okay, we can talk about Preston Parker dropping passes. Yeah, they cut the guy. So get somebody that can make passes. They can catch the football. You get these things going, this team can, in this division, I believe, has a chance. If they continue to shoot themselves in the foot with stupid mental errors and dumb things, they're not going to be good. That's all I'm saying. Sorry.
All right, let's end on this. Let's look at week three beyond just the Giants. And again, of course,
right.
We know Wednesday, Thursday night, tomorrow night, Giants at home against the Washington Redskins. Hopefully they win. Okay. On Sunday, you got the Cowboys at home. No Tony Romo, broken clavicle. He's out 8 weeks. Who knows if not more. Whedon is there. Also, keep in mind, no Dez Bryant.
Playing the Falcons.
So Terrence Williams is the number one wide receiver. Beasley, you know, he's there. Witten is banged up, by the way.
Oh,
dealing
major
with
banged up.
Two ankle. Both ankles are pretty beat up, so there's no guarantee. Ed Warner from ESPN is saying that there's no guarantee that he's going to start. And a Falcons team coming to Dallas. So you got to assume that they are going to run the football. A lot.
That's a tough one for the Falcons because they don't play well on the road. However, they beat the Giants last week on the road, but they're coming off a win. So, yeah, that could be. I mean, Cowboys could easily lose that game and go 1-2.
Okay. You've got an Eagles team with, from what I understand, a lot of drama going on in that front office. it's evident.
It's a reversal of these two teams. Usually the drama is in this locker
with
room.
The Jets.
It's not in the Eagles.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? So you've got an Eagles team who's coming to New York, getting ready to take on the Jets, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And this is an Eagles team. They're not running straight. They're running side to side. I don't understand that. Offensively, Sam Bradford has not been the quarterback. I mean, they just do not look like the team that they did in the preseason. It's unbelievable what a turnaround this has been for them. They look absolutely horrible.
You just wonder when that Eagles team is going to, like, all of a sudden just turn it on 1 week, you know? So, but
and now they have to come. They take on a Jets team 10 takeaways in
incredible.
2 weeks. Hello.
Yeah. And then would that be the Jets' first home game or no? Because the Giants were on the road the first week, so that's wrong.
Yeah,
okay.
I think they opened up against Cleveland here,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
Okay, so I
and
don't.
Then you got the Giants.
So that's going to be tough, right?
Yep.
Against the Eagles. So so that's what your NFC East is looking at like in week three.
Let's say the Dallas loses; they drop to 1-2. Giants win at 1-2. Redskins lose, so they go to 1-2, and the Eagles, if they win, they'll be 1-2. How about that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you see that? The division, there'll be a four-way tie for the division at 1-2. That's although you can go the other way too. But I see the Cowboys actually winning that game. Believe it
even
or not,
with Whedon?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I do because I just think that they can run the football. And they'll put their confidence in that offensive line to get the job done. Yeah.
Some other games this week. The Colts, man, the Colts, Andrew Luck. What a rough first 2 weeks.
I'd like to be a
Colts
fan.
And the Jets.
What's worse, being an 0-2 Colt fan or an 0-2 Giant fan? I mean, the Colts were, come on, they were picked to win everything.
Now they have to go. They go on the road to play the Titans, and the Titans' defense has been quite impressive.
I don't know how people make money in this sports business.
This isn't betting.
This is ridiculous. How do you bet these games?
What?
How do you bet these games?
So this is a tough game on the road. This isn't a walk in the park for Andrew Luck and this Colts team. Keep that in mind. T.Y. Hilton's not 100%. You've got the Raiders at the Browns.
Colts cannot run the football.
I like this Bengals-Ravens game.
Oh, that's going to be
a good
one.
I think that's going to be a fun one.
That would have been flexed if it was later in the season, right?
I think so.
Easily.
I think so. Jaguars at Patriots.
No question.
Come on, Patriots. Do you see? Unbelievable what they did in Buffalo.
they just stay
right?
the course, man.
They're like
a video game that never goes out of, you know, they just constantly upgrade.
Saints at Carolina, the Buccaneers at the Texans.
This would be a good one. Vikings Chargers,
I think, is going to be going. Adrian Peterson, 192 all-purpose yards last week. 192.
Might as well get him involved.
Man.
Let him do whatever he can. More you can do.
And I love Teddy Bridgewater this year.
I like that kid. I
dig that kid.
You don't
kid.
Hear much about him, but he's, you know, good
and he's
kid.
He's working with Norv. Norv Turner is his offensive coordinator. I love that kid. Steelers at the Rams. Pittsburgh's offense is just – and Le'Veon Bell comes back this week. Do you know D'Angelo Williams has outperformed every running back in the NFL?
And how old is he?
Oh, thank you. Thank you, son. Thank you, son, for the 2 weeks of contribution.
Thank you.
Now hold the clipboard because Le'Veon Bell is coming back into the – how about that?
And how about Antonio Brown? I mean, that guy is
ridiculous. You can't cover him. You can't cover him.
I mean, come on.
You can't.
Seriously.
49ers at the Cardinals.
Man.
And, hey, you mentioned Carson Palmer just a second ago.
Cardinals win that game.
Bills at Dolphins. That's going to be an interesting
one. Great game. 4:25.
Right?
Yep. CBS game. That's good.
Bears at Seattle. How about that? Jimmy Graham goes to Seattle. And what? To block? What is that? What is that?
I know.
What are you doing?
If the offensive coordinator, you need to call the guy from the Saints and say, how do you use him again? Get the game plans. Yeah, because you got to get him more involved in the offense.
Mind you, Lombardi, who's with the Washington Redskins, came over from Seattle. That's why I think another reason why you're seeing Jordan Reed have such success.
Well, we've had
the way that he
covering.
Utilized Jimmy Graham in Seattle. Broncos at the Lions. Matthew Stafford really beat up by that Vikings defense last week. And Peyton really didn't look good until the fourth quarter last week against Kansas City.
Everybody had him being retired at halftime. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he just goes to show you the
and that Broncos defense looks good.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to keep even if Peyton has one of those games like he did in last week in the first half and it carries over to the second half, that defense can carry them. They can win that division.
And Kansas City at Green Bay for that Monday night football game.
Be a good one,
so that's week three for you.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, you look at the division, NFC East division, you're kind of hoping that, you know, the Cowboys can lose and the Giants beat the Redskins and the Jets beat. We got to root for the Jets this week. And then the Giants get a win. And like I said, Anita, there could be a four-way tie. All teams at 1-2, and the Giants are back in it to win the division.
So a few things.
Being optimistic.
There you go. So a few things. Tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live, Paul Dottino and John Schmelk. So make sure you tune in at high noon. Getting you ready for kickoff Thursday night, Washington going up against the Giants. And we have to mention, unfortunately, the passing of Yogi Berra.
Yep.
Who was obviously just such an icon.
Awesome.
And just a phenomenal baseball player, a phenomenal man. Just was a very special human being.
No
so
question.
Godspeed to him and his family, and for all of us here at
he'll
the
be telling,
at
he'll
the
be
Giants
telling all those stories in heaven because, man, he had just tons of stories. What a storyteller. What a storyteller.
So we thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, tomorrow, Big Blue Kickoff Live, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino coming your way at high noon. We'll see you then.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.